Ladies and gentlemen, let me welcome you to the reigning, defending, and undisputed best wrestling show in the world, as hosted by Braden Mayhew and Will Macklin. This is Wrestling with Ideas.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. We are back for another wonderful week to discuss all things pro wrestling. I, of course, am Braden Mayhew, joined alongside Will Macklin, and, of course, our newest recruits, who are back for a second week for Mr. Alec Misk, and a, I believe, third for
yes.
you, Mr. Zachary McGibbon. Roz
yep.
is Gibby.
Yep, Mr. Roz Gibby.
Is yeah. this going to be, like, official? Like, you guys are in? Like...
I hope so.
Well,
I'm fine for that, you know, Wrestling with Ideas contract.
Yeah,
you know?
I know. I don't know if I'm going to give it to you.
instead of tough enough, it's strong enough.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You need to get that strong enough contract.
I don't know, man. Are you Russo enough?
Am I Russo enough?
It's like, I'm Dixie enough. Are you Russo enough?
Yeah. Russo is on a whole different level.
So then who's the Ferrara of the two of you then? No Ed Ferrara?
No Ed Ferrara?
Right.
Russo's his own... loose cannon.
His own SD.
Yeah. And we got Macklin, who's like the Heyman of the group.
Yeah, right, yeah. I try to be.
What does he get, the Heyman one?
I'm overweight.
Can I be Jim Cornette? I want to be Jim Cornette.
Yeah, that's a fun one to be.
Just nonstop yelling.
Are you that insane, though? Do you
sometimes
bother you that much to where
if
you have
I had to see a Survivor Series like that again, probably.
Well, yeah, let's get into that,
that
man.
It was a very interesting show, wasn't it?
Yes.
Well, as many of you know, if you're listening to this show anyway, for all things wrestling, Survivor Series was on Sunday.
Yep.
And before we go on and talk about it, the weird thing about this show is I wouldn't exactly call it a bad show. There was some good matches on
it.
It
was just everything predictable
but
happened.
It was nothing special at all. It was nothing special about the pay-per-view. You could have called that show 1,000 leagues away and been right.
The only matches that I was excited about was really the Ambrose and Kevin Owens match, but that one I was kind of like... You just know the ending. That's the only problem, right? Like,
yeah.
And just the actual main event was just so
rushed.
I know, right?
What did they get? They gave them 9 minutes, I believe.
Yeah.
What a big main event, eh? 9 minutes.
I mean, Charlotte and Paige got more.
Yeah.
Which is not a problem, but like you think the main event would be.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you think it would they give them at least 15?
Like, and even Charlotte and Paige's match wasn't good. Like, it was long, but it wasn't good. Like, I mean, I think Ziggler and Breeze had a good match, but.
For the whole, like, 6 minutes they put on a match?
It was fine.
Right, but, like, all the things that happened that you were like, all right, they had such a good opportunity here to actually do something insightful and turn a guy heel and actually boost a star somehow, and they totally missed it. They went and did the safest thing imaginable, which was take an upper card guy who's hasn't done anything really since 2010 when he came in or 2009 when he came in, and it's Sheamus is your number one heel right now.
Yeah,
like that's crazy to me.
And it's 2009 all over again.
Like Roman Reigns was getting booed. That was the perfect time to turn him.
Yep.
And they just why do they want to protect him so much? Is it because Cena's out? Is it because they want sales on the shirts? Like I don't understand. I'm so sad.
What I just don't get is how Sheamus, he's a great wrestler, but he's a perennial jobber. So how does he get that?
Sheamus, like, of all people, like in your worst like rating slump you've had in like at least a decade, you give him the championship.
No, basically, yeah. It's like I know WWE doesn't use steroids anymore, but they practically, by giving a jobber that much responsibility to lead the company, you just injected him with steroids and be like, here you go, this is your tough guy, go. And it's just, it's fake. It's just like, he's not going to last, they have no one else to put in that position, and they're trying to build up Reigns, who, he's a great wrestler, but for whatever reason, he's not over, and I just don't think he will be over.
He's being forced on people, and people don't like being told who to cheer for.
To me, I think the promos had really killed him in the end, because, you know, he was a great wrestler, and he's getting better. I mean, to me, if you get a 4-star match out of the Big Show, from what we saw in Extreme Rules, I know we've seen that match over and over and over again, and it was an Extreme Rules match, so there's a little bit more to work with, but if you get, like, any sort of four-star match at a big show, in my opinion, you deserve to get some credit. You know, so it's like, I to me, I just don't understand why you go with Sheamus at this point as well. Because he doesn't have that star power that he had in 2009, 2010. We've seen it before. And the best part about this, in my opinion, is that he was in a comedy segment with The New Day.
Just before that.
And he looked ridiculous. Was. And you're like, and so, I'm watching this and I'm like, this guy's going to be the world champion.
So yeah. Basically, going into the pre-show, this show had no pre-show match until, I guess, the show aired.
Right.
Because it was like Team Geek. You had Stardust, Miz, mm-hmm. Bo Dallas, and The Ascension against, I guess, a team that's at least somewhat better of Neville, the Dudleys, Titus O'Neil, and a returning Goldust.
Yeah. And I think they actually.
No build-up to that, by the way.
I know, they didn't. Well, they put. Goldust was a late comer because of Cesaro going down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Cesaro's now done for 4 to 6 months.
Yeah.
He's got a torn rotator cuff.
Yeah, shoulder surgery like he just had today.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's gone as well. How many guys are just dropping now? Obviously, Cena's gone on hiatus for his Fox show for Troops or something like
Orton's
that.
Orton's shoulder got busted.
Orton.
That was a weird
Seth
injury.
And Cesaro now, like, what? All of them are dropping like flies, and I think it's because of how much they're working.
Mm-hmm.
3 hour Raws. I think every day main event, like the live events and stuff like that. Like, there's no off season in wrestling, obviously.
Right.
Like, and these guys are working so hard, and the only time they can get time off is literally at the like break themselves.
Yeah,
and that sucks, man. Like,
but the thing is, there's never going to be an off season in wrestling for WWE anyway.
Right.
If there was a new promotion that came out and they're like, we do have an off season, then I could probably see that. But for WWE, they've got the network and they need to keep people.
But don't you think
subscribe?
Don't you think they should have less live events then?
Well, that means less money to them, though.
No, I think that's where they make their money.
Yeah, exactly.
Right,
live events are their big money maker. A lot of people forget that. And it's also a good opportunity for wrestlers to try out new moves at live events. So to me, I don't think it's just getting rid of live events. I think the pay-per-views...
Not get rid of them, but
I think pay-per-views are too much. I think there's way too many pay-per-views. I think 12 a year is too much. I would much rather have... Go back to the 80s and all that. I know it's like nostalgic and all that, but like the big four.
Yeah.
If you go back to a big four, I think you'd make much more money.
They did that.
Yeah.
But they had to because they didn't have money to do
it's that. But also, like, if you go back to a big four format, you have a lot more time to develop stories.
That's true, but I think you go in the middle. Don't go 12, don't go 4, go 8.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then give a couple months off so that, you know. It would give a little bit of build to other pay-per-views. I could see that.
Right, yeah. So,
but I think we have more this year now because of these, if you count the specials.
Yeah, well, because they have, like, they just glorified live events in Japan. Yep. They had New York.
And they had Elimination Chamber.
Then the Elimination Chamber, which is smart.
So now it's like 13.
And I think they should turn the Slammies into their own show as well.
Yeah, put it on the network, make it a network exclusive.
I think so, too. I think that's what you do rather than have you put it on Raw at the same time. It's just so... It doesn't feel important at all. I don't care about it. Slammies are stupid anyway.
Yeah,
I feel like they're kind of forcing that on you even when they do like the Hall of Fame stuff around WrestleMania. It's like it's the time of year to do it. Don't get me wrong, but does it need to be like the pre-show type thing for WrestleMania? Like, do we need like that coming out for that? It's like they have them come out during WrestleMania, give a wave to the crowd and all that stuff. But it's like they could have their own separate like 2-3 hours thing on the network just devoted to it. Like, because you could even go like mini documentary into why they're there.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah,
there's so many things you can do. But.
The only thing I can really say, and it's to get back to the Survivor Series match, Neville, the only guy eliminated from his team.
Oh, God.
Like, really? Just, like, not even any one of the other, like, he couldn't, Titus could survive, and Neville couldn't.
And no disrespect to Titus O'Neil.
No disrespect to him.
But it's like, the way he's been pushed, you got to be kidding me.
Right.
I mean, he was barely on TV for the longest time.
I know. Was it... Who actually pinned Neville again? Was it Stardust who eliminated him from the match?
It was Stardust or Bubba Ray?
Oh no! Oh, Bo.
Or rather, not Bubba
Bo.
Ray. He was on
that. Right.
Or Bo.
Oh, that makes it even worse.
Yeah.
So, anyway, the rest of the babyfaces end up just eliminating all the rest of the job squad, and the Dudleys, Titus, and Goldust all win, and that's the wonderful little traditional Survivor Series match pre-show that
yeah.
we had
I can't
no
believe
idea
they
until
did
the
that.
Actual pre-show.
I can't believe yeah. they did that. I mean, it's like at a point where ratings are so low and you decide to force a program that had no build to a marquee event, which is supposed to be like the structure, the gimmick match right. that it's supposed to be, and you put it on the pre-show, you have a brothers rivalry, and you put that on the pre-show, to me, that's just, to me, it's insulting.
Well, at least they yeah. gave us like one on the actual show, and I knew they would, but we'll get to that in a second. Yeah. So the actual pay-per-view opened with the first semifinal match for the tournament, Roman Reigns against Alberto Del Rio. And in all fairness, this was a very good pay-per-view opener.
Yep.
This match, I thought, okay, oh, yeah, so maybe we're going to be in for a good show.
Well, I knew they had to start these guys off the first two matches, semifinals, because they had to have them close off the show and give them some time in between, right? And yeah, I thought this match was great, and it made Roman look good and made ADR was good. Like we all know the outcome. That's the only problem with this stuff.
He still needs to retire that ridiculous foot stomp.
Right.
I am done with Alberto Del Rio using Finn Balor's finishing move.
No, I know.
I know Balor doesn't set it up that way either, but like when he came up the top rope and Reigns like countered out of it and he kind of was limping, I'm like, oh my goodness, he didn't just like injure himself doing that ridiculous move.
Yeah.
Like that's what's going to happen at some point. Like, it's kind of a dangerous move with Kalisto like the week before for the quarterfinal, you've seen kind of how like awful that looked. It's a move he's definitely got to stop using. Like just the arm bar or find something easier. Like, I don't know, that super kick. Pin John Cena.
Yeah, he has
that they don't talk
since.
About at all.
Yeah.
They just pretend that John just isn't around, I guess, and that he didn't lose the United States Championship. So after that, I think like after that day, he was faking being hurt though, because I think he like hit Reigns with, like a super kick or like a high kick, and then kind of took advantage from there. But when that first happened, his selling was good. Then I'm like, okay, maybe he injured himself off the old jump. It didn't really matter because then Reigns ends up kind of coming back with a Superman punch, and they fight for a bit. And yeah, Del Rio did get the cross arm breaker on him near the end, which is, I think, the first time he's actually pulled that move out since coming back. Yeah. I could be wrong, but...
No, I think it's the first time
The first time I've seen it, anyways.
And then Roman Reigns just kind of Superman lifts him, brings him to the rope, and then he's able to counter and eventually get the spear for the W.
Yeah.
And Reigns is in the finals.
Yeah, and then we saw our Ambrose and KO match, another good match. It was a little short as well, but...
A lot of the matches to me felt rushed.
A lot of them were.
Yeah, so the same thing here. Like, this was a good. Like, I was excited just to see these two guys fight.
And considering they're still continuing the feud, which was the original plan for them anyway, going into the pay per view, we're going to see more of it.
And I think if they get more time, I think we'll see a lot of good matches out of those two guys.
And it'll be for the Intercontinental title. Yeah, a good back and forth. I love whenever he does it. It's kind of like a weird high angle like superplex thing that I don't really know what the move is called that Kevin Owens does off the top.
It's like a twisting fisherman somehow.
A fisherman buster of some kind. Yeah. That move is always phenomenal to see. And
both these guys have great movesets, and I think they'll do well.
The only thing I don't like about Ambrose is that on Nigel McGuinness clothesline. I've been so vocal
on that. You
must
have
loved
when Ambrose got kicked in the face, flew into the ropes, in the face again.
Loved every minute of it.
It's so like it's so telegraphed that you could see it coming from a mile away, right?
I mean, the only guy who really did it well was Nigel McGuinness.
It's true. Eh?
So, I mean, when Ambrose does it, I find it's very clunky and uneven. When I see McGuinness,
but that's kind of his gimmick, though, right?
I know, but it's like, I just can't. I don't buy it.
Yeah,
I don't buy it.
That's hard.
Just when you make that like his description, everything about Dean Ambrose is kind of clunky and bumbly.
Yeah,
no,
like every movie does is like that.
Well, that's his style, I guess.
It's the lunatic fringe.
Around the edges, basically. You know,
But now I see Kyle O'Reilly doing that
technical stuff.
But now I see Kyle O'Reilly doing that stuff. Now I'm like, okay, just leave it to McGuinness.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I know there's moves that you like that most wrestlers will use on a constant basis, but that McGuinness clothesline was
so
what
the ending came about when I think Owens went for like a pop up powerbomb on Dean, and he leapfrogged over him. Then he took the two super kicks.
Yeah.
In which he got caught with a super kick, went for that bounce back lariat, and then got kicked in the face again.
Right.
Owens went for another pop-up powerbomb. Ambrose with a Hurricane Rana out of nowhere, and then basically
cool sequence.
Caught him with Dirty Deeds and pinned him.
Good. Yeah, no, I enjoyed the match. It was good.
Oh yeah, finishing sequence was fantastic.
Again, these matches are just rushed and predictable.
They're quick. Yeah. Actually, wow. This one I didn't know who was gonna win. Like that could have been.
There's a little bit of.
There's a little bit of it, but I just knew.
Like, Reigns, for sure, you knew he was beating Del Rio. Like, that 100%.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, as far as who Reigns was going to face to win the title, that
it could have gone either way, depending on if Ambrose was going to turn
heel. But I just know
or not.
That they wanted, because Ambrose is the only guy that's been in a main event since, you know.
Of the guys in the tournament? Like, yeah.
Ambrose and Reigns are the only two guys that main evented in the last, 11 months. Yeah,
at least a year.
Those are the only two guys that have done it, other than the guys who are out right now. So
Rollins, Lesnar, Sting,
Cena,
those guys.
And they're all right now. They're out. So that's why I thought, okay, this is their chance to boost these two stars and turn one guy heel.
Even though the booking of this match is completely ridiculous and it kind of kills for half of it, I was kind of entertained in the traditional Survivor Series match we got during the show, which was New Day.
So Xavier Woods' hair.
Hey,
fantastic.
Was the star of that.
Five stars.
What did he compare himself to again? It was Little Richie.
It was awesome.
He had the pompadour rocking like Little Richie, he said.
Yeah. But then you see, like, you had like Bad News and Sheamus with them.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't fit.
And now they're looks like they're part of the Authority now.
I know.
It's so weird.
With Rusev.
With Rusev, right, yeah, super strange.
Oh, my Lord.
And yet, here you have Barrett and Sheamus looking like complete white guy goofs with the New Day. New Day's in a segment, and Sheamus is the bigger goof than they are.
Somehow. And that's why we
just
talked
about it. What was the line you said again? Like, are we going to get jiggy on these posers?
Right.
We going to get
that
jiggy.
Got a laugh out of me. But then I realized he's my world champion. Yeah. Then I stopped laughing.
I chuckled, and the facial expression he made was even more better. It was like, yeah, I just said probably the stupidest thing on live television ever, and New Day proceeded to ignore him the rest of the way. And the best was, during the whole time everybody's talking, New Day's music was playing. As soon as Sheamus says that corny line, it's like the music just ended. It was just awkward silence.
You could basically hear like the record skip.
You could hear, if there were crickets in the arena, you would be able to hear them at like that moment.
Kind of like when you won the title.
Yeah.
All three? All four now?
Super brutal.
No.
Oh, man.
So, the match was decent.
Don't break it down. Let's go. Let's move on to, was it Paige and Charlotte?
Yeah.
Say who won.
Well, basically, Sheamus gets left on his own because New Day ditches the match. Like, two people didn't even get eliminated. I think Barrett was the only... Barrett and Big E were the only two who got eliminated from the heel side. And of the good guy side, I believe, one of the Usos got eliminated.
Yeah, I think so.
So Sheamus was left like with at least three people on one. And he fights forever and then loses because the three good guys triple team the one bad guy. Is that booking strange to anybody? Is that odd?
It sucked.
That was just my boy Ryback. That's my boy Ryback.
The team lost because they bailed on their partner.
Yeah, it's a throwaway match.
I just kind of feel like the geniuses behind Jar Jar Binks wrote that segment.
Yeah, he probably did. Let's check the writing thing. The guy who wrote... Phantom Menace, and see if he had anything to do with this pay-per-view.
I'm sure he did.
He probably did. So the Divas title match is really not a whole lot to say about Paige.
It was great.
Charlotte,
they threw each other around for a little bit, and it was good. But I mean, the ending was so abrupt again. It was like, okay, Charlotte, put your finish on, and it's over.
and it's over.
Paige like screamed, and then like one scream, and then just tapped immediately.
Right. Yeah.
And that was it.
The only thing with that is like this big blood feud where, you know, Paige said some of the worst things I've ever heard on television, honestly. I hated it. I thought it was for me it was just lazy, because that means it's like it means that you are running out of creative ideas for this feud and you're just going to try and go for the cheap shot to try and get some cheap heat.
Right. Yeah.
So, but anyways, enough about that. To me it's like this big blood feud between these two. It doesn't start off with a brawl. It starts off with a waist lock.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like a waist lock. It's like...
a classic. Just
like
get rid of the feud.
Like, that's how you really...
That's how I fight.
Well, we can get on to ridiculous...
I'm trying to imagine you now going up to people's like, yo, you want to fight?
You want
to
go?
Put Sim in a waist lock? You know what I mean?
As if we weren't already talking about matches being rushed anyway. Dolphin Tyler Breeze get 6 minutes on pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And Breeze wins. and it's like nothing. And it's like, why should the feud even continue?
And he took the pin the next night. Like, good job, Breeze.
Oh, well, they're trying to get Breeze over, I guess, but...
By having him lose, oh, what a great job. What a great player.
Here. No, he won, yeah.
He won here.
I'm talking about Raw the next night.
Let's forget about that show.
Nobody watched Raw.
That's true.
The ratings show.
The ratings show that.
And then we had Undertaker's Celebration 25-year match.
Okay, so this match sucked also.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it sucked, but it was nothing. Like,
it was a showcase match for The Undertaker.
Why are we having him win? Why are we having him win that way? Why did they switch out Strowman for Luke Harper randomly?
Because Harper can work.
I know, he's the better work. I understand, but have him be the one who's promoted then from the beginning. Don't switch him late.
Yeah.
And then, I guess they just wanted to see Strowman versus Taker. I want to see the big, tall guys, whatever.
Can't wait for WrestleMania 32, Braun Strowman versus The Undertaker.
No way that happens.
That's going to be great.
That actually happens.
It's just going to have no chance. Taker and Strowman with a referee in the middle, and Strowman just going to be laughing like an idiot because that's basically what he embodies, the WWE laughing at the fans, which is The Undertaker, because let's face it, we like Taker. I don't even know why still, but we just like him.
Well, it's just kind of, it's just sad now. You know, when you're like, you're watching, your grandma's going to die eventually. Yeah. She's hanging around for no reason.
She's just there.
Yeah, just all right, grandma.
Hanging in there.
You kind of want my money.
She has her moments.
She's soaked up to all the life support machines, but you still take time to dye her hair. Yeah.
But what you're saying is you just want the guy to pass the torch. That's what he needs to do. Just lose to somebody like Brock Lesnar, who's already a made person. He needs to lose to somebody who's going to benefit. When he just keeps running over the Wyatt family, it does nothing for them. And this has happened
expected this. I mean, the booking into this, it was Undertaker and Kane dominated the Wyatts throughout the entire feud.
Yeah, so why did they even have the match? When Undertaker...
I don't know! You gotta
Undertaker
ask WWE!
Kane came back from their souls being taken, and they destroyed all Wyatts by themselves. They got their revenge for their souls being taken. Why did they need this match?
My question is, why didn't Bray Wyatt use the power of Kane and Undertaker during the match and shock Undertaker with lightning, the Emperor?
How
and
funny
Empire
would it have been if that weird graphic played on the screen, the weird twirly thing with all the energy and lightning, and then Kane and Undertaker both just collapsed, and Bray pinned one of them, and that was the match.
That'd been fun.
I would have loved the live crowd.
That'd have been an amazing idea.
But just the whole match
nothing.
Sucked.
The match was nothing.
Sucked. And it sucked for Wyatt, because Wyatt looks weak again.
At least he didn't get pinned. I can give them that.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, Kane didn't look good. Taker looked whatever.
Taker looked weak and old, because he's old.
Literally, that's what he is. So. So I was fine. Okay.
Coolest part of that match was the entrance for Undertaker.
Yeah, it was
where they had the coffin hanging over and there was the switching Undertaker.
I wish it was longer.
You wish it was longer? Really?
No, so you would have liked to have seen Undertaker beat on them longer?
Literally, the entrance was longer than that match.
The exit of the ring was longer than the match. It took Undertaker and Kane 3 years to walk back to the...
Kane's Kane.
The entrance. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, not fun stuff, and not fun stuff to be the Wyatts.
All right.
So the main event was Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose in the finals for the WWE World Heavyweight title. And they give them 9 minutes.
Yeah, 9 minutes, and they had good spots, but...
They did. They worked great, and fans were interested, because it was a match nobody had seen before.
Yeah.
If they had more time,
it would have been great.
Oh, it would have been legendary.
It would have been awesome.
Because that spear was out of nowhere, and I knew something was happening, because it was...
22, basically.
22 minutes. Yeah, it was 22 minutes left.
Yeah.
So, it was 48 or something. And then, I'm like, all right, so... Something's happening, because there's no way you're going to have... You have 20 minutes left here.
Yeah.
And the confetti's I'm like, okay, that's weird. And then Triple H is there. And then obviously, Sheamus just comes. I'm just like... So, the worst thing that could have happened is Ambrose... Reigns goes over on Ambrose.
Which everybody
should
have expected.
And they're both faces. And that's the match. That's it. That's the worst thing.
And it did
happen. Second worst thing... Was okay. What if Sheamus catches
and,
it?
And what Sheamus catches it?
And I'm like, all right. So at least this is better than the worst thing that could have happened.
Yeah.
The best thing that could have happened would have been Reigns turning. The second best thing would have been Ambrose turning.
So basically, by the end, Reigns won, and Triple H comes down to shake his hand and celebrate with him. So instead of doing this, Reigns just says, "Screw authority," and he spears Triple H. And as soon as he turns around, Sheamus catches him with a brogue kick.
Right.
Yeah.
And cashes in. He goes for a pin. Reigns kicks out, which makes you think, oh, Oh. Is Sheamus going to fail his cash in? Now, one bro kick later, and Sheamus actually wins the championship. Of all people,
you got to make Reigns look strong there.
Of all people to put the title on in this horrible rating slump, it's Sheamus is our savior.
He was moving the reins in 2009, let me tell you.
He was lighting the world on fire.
Cena was just like sky high. So. Yeah. But yeah, no, it just, it sucked.
Yeah,
that ending was not.
It was so Daniel Bryan-esque.
It
really was. I mean, confetti going in and then Triple H coming in.
It was SummerSlam 2013 rebooked all over again. That's exactly what this was. Except Roman Reigns isn't Daniel Bryan. He's not going to get over in the
and
same.
And Reigns looked like an idiot there because the it's like, vein. Oh, he could have just as easily walked away. He could have just as easily
walked
away.
Where was Ambrose? Why did Ambrose leave?
Yeah.
Badly?
What happened to his buddy Ambrose?
Hey, if a guy beat, I'd be a little envious too. Let him get his butt kicked. I'm upset that he beat me for the championship.
I guess so.
That could have set up a heel turn. That could have set up something interesting.
I was actually kind of expecting Dean to.
It was like, I didn't
kind
help
of expecting
you,
Dean may turn on him like after the match.
Yeah. Or something.
But that never happened.
Something
either.
To be entertained by.
Well, it feels like they really built.
Are you not entertained by Sheamus?
I'm not sports
Are you
entertained.
Not entertained?
I'm not sports entertained for sure.
I'm not entertained by the whitest white person I've ever seen on television.
He is the whitest white person ever. And he's even whiter when he said that quote there earlier in the night. So he says,
"Let's get jiggy with it, fella."
He says, "Get jiggy on these posers," and he's walking out as your world champion on the same show. Just unbelievable.
All right. Well, anyway. That was sad, but we have a special guest coming on in the next segment.
So
it's going to be super awesome.
Wait for that, everybody. It's going to be after a quick commercial break, so stay tuned. Gangrel, always around to greet us from every single commercial break.
Of course.
He's a very kind vampire. I mention it every week. It never gets old. So we are joined in studio by Ottawa's own Devin Hannibal Nicholson. How are you today?
I'm excellent. Training very hard.
Yeah, we can see.
My set is going all set for my match.
You are
a
large
man. Do you
think
Gangrel is a real vampire? That is.
I would. At times I did. Was that blood in his goblet or whatever? Was that?
I'm assuming it was Clamato juice.
Oh yeah, probably. Yeah. Have you ever worked with Gangrel?
I was friends with him in Deep South Wrestling.
Oh really?
They were going to bring him back to WWE around that time, 2006, when I was training in Deep South Wrestling, and I don't know if they ever brought him back, but he was. Training with us and doing the events.
Oh, that's really... Because
he was one of the few nice people there.
Oh, really?
And but he was not in his top shape at that
no,
time.
No, he wasn't. A little overweight.
But I am a real vampire. That's the whole thing.
So you are,
I believe
not.
I'm more of a vampire than he is.
Yeah, that's good. You're on... Because this week is a huge event for GNW.
Yes.
I went to your event in Brockville recently, a month ago. Zach, you went to the one in Smith Falls as well?
I also went to the one in Ottawa where you tombstoned Mr. Patrick Brazeau through a table.
Yes, and I believe his neck still hasn't recovered from it.
That's good.
Damage. Well done.
Yes. It looked like it hurt.
But he did get off his criminal charges, so he may have a serious neck problem, but he's not a criminal.
Is he suing you at all for his neck or no?
No. He signed a waiver for
that's
that.
Good. Perfect. Good.
That's good.
But I think he got off easy, too.
But you got a big...
I don't know. I don't know what was worse, the chop or the tombstone.
Those chops look cool, but you could hear that slap.
And I made sure I ripped off his chain when I chopped
him. So you're a monster.
Yes. This Friday night, November the 27th, we're going to be in Rockland for the last Great North Wrestling event of the year. And I will be defending the Canadian Heavyweight Championship in a three-way TLC match versus the Giant Darko, who I wrestled in Brockville.
Right.
And Jeremy Prophet, who was a former Canadian champion.
What did he do to get his chance again?
He was complaining, apparently, to Great North Wrestling officials.
Which is you.
That, no, there's a whole team of officials. And that Road Warrior Animal... since he only refereed the end and made the pin, that he should not be counted as a loss. But the thing was, he took out two of the other referees.
So,
Road Warrior Animal, He did have his referee license for that night, too, because he was supposed to be the referee for the entire match. But unfortunately, he was late getting to the arena due to the taxi cab strike Ottawa.
Yep.
So luckily, he made it to
just in time.
Do the save at the end and make the pinfall. And I actually pinned Darko 1-2-3, but he wants his rematch. And you were at the Ottawa event where Darko attacked Jeremy Prophet after the match and actually powerbombed him into a steel guardrail and bent the steel guardrail, which is painful.
Jeremy is great, by the way. He is an awesome worker.
He's very tough. He's a very tough individual. So it should be an interesting match because I don't actually have to get pinned to lose the title.
Right.
It's the first person to climb the ladder and rip the title down from the ceiling.
Have you worked a lot of ladder matches in your career?
The only other one that I had was against Jeremy, and it ended up with a concussion and my eye getting slit open due to him jumping off the top turnbuckle pad. I was lying face first onto a table, and actually his butt landing directly on my head.
Oh my God.
Of his weight. Basically, the table just shattered, and my head bounced off the concrete.
Oh my.
Split my head open.
How long ago was this?
That was 2011.
Oh, wow.
May of 2011. So that was a very tough match. And that's why it's been so long since I've agreed to another ladder match.
And now you got another person involved in it, too. It's going to be three of you in one car wreck-esque bout.
And they both don't like me, particularly Darko.
Darko's a jerk, though.
He threw a temper tantrum after our match.
Oh, he did, pushing everybody.
Yeah, he got some victories since then, so now he's back into title contention. So it's
How does the rest of the card look? Do you got MMB there as well going to be on the card?
There's nine matches.
Nine matches.
Bushwhacker Luke is the best.
Oh, that's right,
He's just inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame this year.
He runs his own promotion in Australia right now?
No, he lives in Florida.
Oh, it does?
And has his own gym where Hogan works out. Many NFL players work out there as well.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah, I know. And he's from New Zealand. Australia people in New Zealand.
Oh,
people,
yeah, they hate that.
They hate that. But as one Australian put it to me, Australians are alcoholics and criminals.
Right.
But New Zealanders are sheep shaggers.
That's
the difference.
That's the difference. That's the difference.
That's what I've heard as well.
Well, Australia is founded on thieves as well. So
that's what I was told by the Australian. And I was actually training with a New Zealand amateur wrestler a couple of years ago who may be actually representing them at the next Olympics. And
wow.
He certainly didn't like Australians too much either. So it definitely goes both ways there.
Yeah, that's true, eh?
But everyone loves Bushwhacker Luke other than Preston Perry, and apparently the special guest referee for this match, who is the Grape Crusher, who is may not be wrestling again, but maybe moving into officiating or another role. So, it's going to be interesting.
Dylan Black will be your announcer again?
No, he had another commitment that night. We're going to have a new announcer for this one.
Okay.
New setup. It's going to be quite a nice setup in that arena.
Because I know there's a situation that happened at the Brockville event where his girlfriend at the time got concussed. She got hurt.
I don't really know the details of that. I've never seen any medical reports on that.
Oh, really?
All I know is he was fairly insistent on having her sit at ringside. He liked her, I guess. Likes her.
So what happened is it was Jeremy Prophet hit the honky-tonk guitar on a wrestler, and he threw the guitar out of the ring, and Danielle was sitting right beside the ringside, kind of hit her a bit, like on the right off top of the head, and then I thought she was like selling, but I guess she actually was really hurt.
I've never seen the footage. The footage was of the other guy that actually got smashed full force into with the guitar.
No,
Who was Paul Rosenberg.
Yeah, that's who it was.
And I haven't seen the footage. I haven't seen any medical reports.
Oh, okay, I just wanted to see if you knew or
details
not.
Details about that.
That's okay.
And we also have a new backstage announcer. We were actually trying her out as a backstage announcer.
Okay.
But Lee Bercy, who is a city councilor in Brockville, will be our backstage announcer for this event.
Okay.
And it's a 10-match card. There's a grappling match, submission grappling.
Oh, good. Because in Brockville, you had the actually Olympic match as well.
Yes, I like incorporating that onto my.
Because that's what you did for years.
True honor. It was an honor to have Dory Yeats on that card, and she will be back for us again. But she has the Olympic trials coming up in December, so she's training for that. But she had a tremendous showing in Brockville. She wrestled a Hungarian wrestler.
Right.
The crowd actually responded well, and it was actually my favorite match of the Brockville card.
Yeah, it was really awesome.
She's an amazing athlete, and I have so much respect for her. But yeah, we have a submission grappling match. We have, speaking of women in Brockville, mm-hmm. Jessica Black, who's the Femme Fatale champion.
Right.
She will be taking on Vanessa Craven on this event. Jessica Black won in Brockville over Stacey Tebow.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be great. K-9, a new wrestler, is returning to action. The Rock, JR.
Yeah,
he'll be making his debut.
That's perfect.
His video has over 40,000 hits. He's already caused a ridiculous amount of controversy. So I understand he's going to be bringing two beautiful ladies to the ring with him. And then, of course, we have Jinxie, who's a valet for us. She'll be managing Blade in his match. So it's going to be a great card, lots of action. And I'm really looking forward to it. Freak Nation will also be back.
Right.
We were on the Brockville show, Victorious. So it's going to be cool. I suggest everyone come out to it. It's going to be our last event of 2015. Tickets are at ticketweb.ca. You can get them at the door. TheHannibalTV.com has all the information. That's the official website of Great North Wrestling.
We also have a YouTube channel. Page.
Yes, The Hannibal TV is actually our YouTube channel. We're over 13,000 subscribers now, and we're growing literally by hundreds every week. And it's interesting because 90% of our subscribers are American. So we're actually more popular in the States than in Canada.
That's so weird. Yeah. That's crazy. I was going to talk to you about you're tough enough.
Yes, I don't know what happened there. That's unfortunate. That's really unfortunate because if they were actually going by who had the most YouTube views.
You had the most for the mail.
Yeah.
You had, what was it, like a million at least or something?
I had a ridiculous amount. And actually, they did stories on me in Mexico, Germany, Italy, lots of wrestling sites. Of Wrestling Observer put something in there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not get a chance to be on there. I was in good shape, and I actually think I would have been very entertaining on the show.
No, I think so too. It would have been awesome. Do you think the reason why is because of your other stuff that happened prior to that with the WWE?
I don't know what's going on, because last year I had a tryout in front of Gerald Briscoe and Jim Ross, and Briscoe said he would recommend me, but he wasn't giving me 100% because he said the final decision on who gets hired is not up to him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a scout that can recommend people. And then I did a tryout that Ric Flair was at last August, and actually got to train with Ric Flair.
Where are these tryouts? At the Performance Center? Or
this one was at Harley Race's Wrestling Academy, where I actually wrestled on Harley's event that night as well. But it was like a week-long camp with New Japan there, Pro Wrestling Noah, and then Ric Flair was there. And he said he was going to recommend four of us to WWE. And he brought me in to demonstrate stuff a few times. And he seemed to like me. There was only two matches at the end for Flair, and I was in the last match. And he didn't say who were the four he was going to recommend after the practice. But then when I saw him at the event later that night, I asked him, do you have any suggestions for me of what I could do if I want to be signed by WWE? And he said, no, I like you. You're one of the four guys I'm recommending.
Oh, wow.
So that was the end of August.
He never heard anything.
Yeah. So I don't know, according to Billy Graham, who just got re-signed
with WWE. Yeah, he got a legend deal. Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good sign.
You think that's a good in maybe for you? Because Jimmy,
he is going to attempt to get me in. I don't know. He's having some stuff done on his health right now, but hopefully he'll at least get an answer, because the only answer I want to know is like what the issue is, because any of the people I've talked to don't seem to like show any signs that there is an issue. And when that lawsuit between me and them was resolved all the way back in 2012, it was my understanding that that put an end to any issues. It was a mutual resolution that we can't talk the details about, but I don't know what the issue is. I really
well, this brings me to my next one. Just from Simon Zimmerman. Simon Zimmerman's always our question master. He gives us all these questions. He gave me a question.
Question master.
Yeah, he always, every week he gives us a good question that we want to talk about and gave you one. This is for you. Which promotion would you like to work with if you had the chance to, other than the WWE? Would you like to go ROH? Would you like to go New Japan? Would you like
New
to go
Japan, without question.
PWG, maybe out west? Any other promotions that you have interest in?
No, no. Just New Japan, really. I want to travel more.
Yeah?
I will travel more.
You've been all over the States, obviously. And
yes, but I'm going to... The thing is, I was getting very popular, then I got sick, then I had to take 3 years off to get cured. And now this is really, I came back, I stopped wrestling in October 2011, and I came back in May of 2014. So really we're only like a year and a half back, and I'm only just now getting back in my top shape.
Yeah.
It was when I was hired by WWE. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with Japan.
Have you talked to some guys out there?
I have been in contact with Japanese people, and I'm
just a
hoping
bunch
that
of regular Japanese people.
No, no I've talked to lots of people from Japan.
That's awesome.
And I know there's interest from the Japanese fans of me going to Japan because I have lots
well,
of Japanese
Well, because, yeah, just watching
fans.
Your cards, it's just, it's obvious that, you know, you're the star and you're the, probably the best worker and the most, finely, like, tuned wrestler you can see. I mean, everyone else seems like they're kind of amateur. Like, they are, they're, but. I mean, you are like the one, you're the draw, essentially, you know, and it's just fun to watch you, and it's amazing. I mean, the other guys are great, too, I mean, but you could tell that there's...
Our talent is continuously improving.
But you're just like, it's just a step above, you know what I mean? You can just tell that this guy has, you can do more, you know?
Yes, well, hopefully you'll see me in Japan soon.
That'd be amazing.
Really
they got
really
the this January.
Yeah, Wrestle Kingdom.
Wrestle Kingdom. Yeah. That's an amazing card,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that looks good. So I that would be awesome to see you over there. I think that you could, yeah, because that's the Japanese. They like big white guys. So
I wrestle their style, and I beat up Terry Funk badly. Actually, Terry's even said more badly than anyone ever beat him up.
Really?
Oh,
he's a legend there.
Yeah.
And I hold quite a few victories over Abdullah.
Yeah.
And I actually retired him.
Yeah, you did.
Both kayfabe and non-kayfabe.
Yeah, true.
So
yeah.
I should automatically be popular
you
in Japan.
Should. Just
when I go there, not to mention AJ Styles, when he was New Japan Pro Wrestling IWGP champion, could not beat me.
Really?
He could not beat me. That. I actually pinned him twice in that match. It was the best 2 out of 3 falls match that went half an hour, and he did not pin me twice. There was a screw-up with the officiating at the end, but he certainly did not pin me. What the first referee said that I won that match.
What?
Then some idiot official came and reversed the decision, and I ended up pile-driving him through a table.
That's like your thing.
You solve problems your own way.
You will see me against AJ next year for sure, because I really don't like AJ Styles.
You don't?
And I'm going to beat the hell out of him.
He's like he's one of the best wrestlers in the world.
I'm not saying I have any issue with him as a wrestler. He's a fantastic wrestler. He's a phenomenal wrestler,
if you will.
But no, I have a bone to pick with that guy.
What would you say is the main bone to pick? What kind of grind your gears AJ Styles?
He's a whiner and a complainer, and I want to beat him up. I don't like him.
You like the Bullet Club at all?
I don't follow wrestling, I'll be perfectly honest with you. You're amongst me.
Get out of the studio.
I don't follow it. I read the news time to time, but I really...
Well, right now, WWE stinks. We just did a half hour. We did a half hour bit on Survivor Series, and it was the most predictable show. And even Mick Foley, he even did a message saying he's off it now. He doesn't even watch another Raw anymore because it's just predictable, and they don't bring up new stars.
Did he break his TV on Twitter again?
I think so, yeah. So it's interesting how, and the ratings have been so super low right now. And
that's true, they had record low ratings recently.
Yeah, so
it seems like it's a record low every week.
Every week.
It's just a sliding scale, they're getting worse, but they still promote at $9.99.
Yeah.
$9.99 is the only amount you have to pay for the WWE Network.
Now for you guys, who's your booker? Is it you?
Booker?
Bookman. Who sets
head honcho.
Who sets up the matches?
There's a committee.
No committee that doesn't? Okay. So they know what's going to go in and what's going to come out. I see. I get
many people that are involved in those discussions.
That's crazy.
But yes, for WWE, I wish them the best of luck.
Well, they're for sure listening, so. You guys have a bit for these guys. I made these guys prep for you.
I got a bit of a question. You mentioned Billy Graham earlier, and you have a decent history with him. What kind of impact would you say he's kind of had on your life, whether it be like in terms of your wrestling career, even maybe just
well,
as a
I
friend?
Owe my life to him because he's the one that got me on my hepatitis C treatment.
Mm-hmm. Like he was, he had a similar treatment and he kind of...
No, the doctors in Canada were saying there was nothing that could cure me anytime within the next 5 to 8 years. So he got me an appointment with his liver specialist in Phoenix, who works closely with the Mayo Clinic out there, which is one of the leading medical facilities in the world. So I had top recommendations on how to get cured, which ended up working. So I love Billy Graham like a grandfather, and I'll do anything for him.
He struggles with diabetes right now? And
oh, he's got diabetes, hepatitis C, heart issues.
Wow.
He's still a superstar, though.
Yeah, he still actually works out.
He works out almost every day.
Yeah.
Now, you said that the treatment was experimental. Is it still experimental?
They actually took it off the market. It was never even... It was experimental for my genotype always, which was genotype 2, the same as Abdullah. And basically what happened is it was always experimental for genotype 2. The Billy Graham's doctor believed that it would work for me, and it did work. But it was never approved, and the side effects were very bad, and it was very expensive. Over $80,000 for most treatments. Mine was 36 weeks, wow, which is a long time.
Yeah.
So they found that due to the side effects and the expense and newer, better treatments becoming available, they completely took it off the market in, I believe, October of last year. So it was never approved for my genotype. I believe I may have been the only genotype 2 ever treated in Canada.
That's amazing. That. Oh, wow.
But the thing was, why I took that treatment there is because at that time, it was up in the air whether there would be newer treatments.
Right.
I was able to luckily afford it at that point in time, and I needed to get cured because I still wanted to go back into wrestling. You can't wait for that. And also, treatments are very hard on your body. I won't even get into that.
That's why I took the 3 years off, right?
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why Billy Graham has never been on a Hep C treatment, because his body, with all his other health problems, cannot handle it. It'll actually probably kill him.
Because you're like you're in great shape, so you can handle stuff like that.
It still took a lot out of me, but I was mentally prepared because that was my second treatment. The first treatment failed, so the second treatment I was mentally prepared for it, and also I was public about it.
Right.
So by making videos every week, I met a lot of people that were going through the same treatment and had been cured by various treatments, so I had a lot of support. When you were not sleeping for 5 days in a row, there's people up from all over the world that you're able to kind of talk to. So yeah, no, I was cured, and it's all thanks to Billy. So
that's awesome.
And, were there points maybe during the treatment that had you kind of thinking that going back to wrestling may be impossible, or was that never a thought you let?
I just wanted to survive every day. I wanted to. It causes actual suicidal thoughts, and also at certain points there was always like mild itching, and then there were points of extreme itching all over. Like I even had to have special cream for my rear end to put up there because it was itchy there. It was itchy everywhere. And sometimes it was like a bug under the skin itch where you just wanted to, like, if I just kill myself, at least I won't be itchy anymore.
Right.
And of course, you're not sleeping for sometimes days in a row. So really, I wasn't thinking all that much about wrestling. I was just trying to survive and not kill myself and not stop the treatment, because I knew if I'd stop the treatment, it wouldn't work.
Right.
So it'd be all for nothing. So it was a tough time, and I had a lot of people helping me. Billy was one of the people that talked to me every day through the treatment.
Wow.
And helped me. But the worst part of the treatment, because Billy almost died while I was on the treatment, he had double pneumonia.
Oh, my God.
And he was actually put in the hospital for quite a few days.
So you had to help him.
Yeah, but I thought he was going to pass away, and I wouldn't have been able to take that while I was
on the treatment. That would have been really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was hard when I found out he was at the hospital.
Yeah, darker. It gets darker and darker, right?
Yeah.
That sucks.
But yeah, he survived.
Have you ever struggled with mental illness or anything like that? No, other than that's just the treatment?
No,
ever?
And that's actual a side effect of the treatment. Mm-hmm. The only times where I actually was depressed was actually when I found out the first treatment didn't work, because anytime I'd had any type of illness, you always take medications and it works and mm-hmm. it's gone. And I had been training while I was off treatment in MMA. I actually had an MMA fight booked for August.
Mm-hmm.
I had hope that I would go back to WWE, because when they canceled my contract, they did say the door will be open if you're ever cured.
Right.
So I thought, okay, I'll do this first treatment and then I'll get right back into everything. I'll get an MMA fight right away. And then they did the 6-month post-treatment test and found out it was back. And it's like, okay. And at the same time, they're telling me there won't be anything for like 5 to 8 years. Right. And that's when I began my search almost immediately for a new treatment. But that was like one of the worst days, because it's like my whole life was dedicated to wrestling. I didn't even go to university.
Yeah.
Due to wrestling. So I really have nothing but wrestling. And then if I can't wrestle, now you got a deadly disease in you.
Yeah.
It was not bright prospect.
And a lot of people are unaware or just don't have the knowledge that hepatitis C can be cured.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's better cures coming out all the time. But I am officially cured. And
I am
licensed to wrestle in Missouri, which was one of the reasons WWE canceled my contract, was I could not get
clearance there.
Clearance. But I am now, I do hold a license. Because one of the things, it's like, oh, if you can't wrestle in St. Louis and Kansas City,
what's the point?
Well, you can't just have a special schedule.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But
I just wanted to ask, we all know the big impact that Billy Graham had on you, but recently he was saying that with the recent passing of Dusty Rhodes, that he would be willing to be the new promo coach. And with the new Legends deal with he signed, how much of an impact do you think he would have for those young guys at the Performance Center how much of an impact do you think he would have on those guys?
He would help them, because he's very passionate about wrestling. And he still watches it. I keep telling him, just stop watching if it makes you so angry, because you got to tell me how angry you get.
Yeah.
He actually watches it every week and just gets angry about it. And I'm like, I don't watch it, and I don't have to worry about getting
angry. Is there
a
reason why you don't watch it? You just don't, not interested?
Why would I watch it if I get angry? I want to be in there. I know.
Right, yeah.
part of the roster.
That's what
it makes me incredibly jealous.
That's how CM Punk, I think Punk doesn't even watch it either now.
Yeah.
I was at the doing security at the
Ottawa.
SmackDown.
Yeah, I was there. We were there as well, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They actually didn't blur my face out on the TV. The first time I'd actually seen like a full
Like a card?
In many years.
Oh, wow.
And my favorite match of that card was Natty against Charlotte.
Oh, Charlotte. That was the dark match that was before that, right?
Yeah, it was a Superstars match, I think. Or something
It was one of the early ones. But that was the best.
That was the best match, yeah. Well, because
I actually got to talk to Natty, and she was very nice.
Oh, that's really cool. Stage. That's awesome.
She said I hadn't aged.
That's good. That's good.
But yeah, it's too bad about TJ's neck. But you were asking... from what I understand, Billy actually did talk to Triple H about that NXT thing, but he's very sick, and that's I don't know if he could do that. Definitely not at a full-time basis.
Yeah,
I know he is going to WrestleMania this year in Houston with them, and will be doing autograph sessions for them.
Perfect.
But I don't think he's.
Do you think he'll get on TV? Like just kind of a shot here?
Hopefully, I hope so.
Mm-hmm.
But he would help the talent. I think he really would.
This is so hard right now for him.
But he's,
there's
very few talent that he likes on the roster right now.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to jump back to Hepatitis C here for a second. I was watching This Is Hannibal, and in it you said that Hepatitis C may have won the battle, but Devin Nicholson will win the war. What advice would you give to someone that has hepatitis C and is going through the treatments right now, like to help them get through?
One thing I did was watch other people's videos. That's one of the reasons why I documented my treatment, was to help people, because you find what helped other people deal with certain side effects by watching videos. So I was well aware going into my second treatment, like drink 3 milk jugs full of water a day, for instance. It helps clear out the system, and like constantly cream yourself, because there's a lot of bad skin issues. So if you're creaming yourself 4 or 5 times a day, it helps. But the main thing is staying positive and taking it one day at a time, not looking at the long distance treatment can take. But now I understand there's 3-month versions of the treatment becoming available, which is a lot better. And versions that don't contain interferon, which is a very bad psychological.
Is that what that was in yours? Yeah.
They all have bad psychological side effects, but I think even for my last one, there was like at least 7 potentially deadly side effects.
That's amazing. That's crazy.
From the treatment. So it's good that there's new ones coming out. But yeah, anyone with Hep C should get treated, get it out of their system. And if you've had tattoos in basements or piercings in basements, never do that. If I could give anyone one advice, because you can't trust people.
I guess I have to close mine down now.
Don't do that. But if you had it, get yourself checked, because you won't necessarily know the signs, and it's better to take the treatment earlier if you have it. But yeah, that's bad. And don't let anyone cut you with an unsanitary razor blade with hepatitis C blood on it in a wrestling match.
Whose name is Abdullah the Butcher?
He's literally crazy. He's lost his mind.
Right now he is. Yeah, he still doesn't think he gave it to you.
What would you say if you owed someone over $2 million?
That's true. I didn't do it. You have one more question?
Yeah, just
we'll give
one
you one more question and wrap up and kill
excellent.
It.
So getting back to the WWE, is that still the main dream or goal, or is it any sort of promotion now?
I would I'm not going to say anything. I'd like to fight Brock Lesnar badly. So I would mainly like to go to WWE for that, because I'm not afraid of him one bit. And that could be a very interesting feud and well-drawing feud. But I would rather, I think I would do better in New Japan.
Yeah.
It's more my style.
Any dream opponents there?
Other than AJ?
Yeah.
He's not a dream opponent. He's unsettled business.
Kenny Omega, Shinsuke Nakamura.
Kenny Omega would be awesome.
Okada.
The Great Muda is always one of my favorites. But he's not New Japan.
Not anymore, no.
But all the Japanese, both of my grandparents fought in World War II. So I have a history of beating Japanese people in my family.
Well,
so, maybe they're just chicken of me. Maybe that's
you're a little scared
reason, because that's one of the
you may have to force the issue
comments in New Japan people. Oh, you don't have to hit people so many times. Well, that's how I wrestle. So if it scares you, you're
get
all
over
chicken.
It.
Yeah, so be it. Well, thanks again, Devin, for coming on, and give us the last more plug for your event
this
week.
It's going to be taking place this Friday night, November the 27th, the Jean-Marc Lalonde Arena in Rockland, Ontario. Our first match ever there, and I am going to destroy my opponents. I have two opponents in the way, the Giant Darko and Jeremy Prophet, and it's going to be a very violent match, my most violent match. Since returning to the ring, a very extreme match, and they're both dead men when I get through.
give us a Hannibal promo right now.
A lot of my friends are going to be at this show. It's not very far from my house, so Jeremy Prophet and Darko. It is going to be total annihilation when I get my hands on you this Friday night.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning into Wrestling with Ideas. Thank you very much for Devin Hannibal Nicholson for being live in studio with us to promote the upcoming event very soon.
GNW!
GNW. Check it out. See y'all next week.